not 344. And then 2 to the 170 is kind of like 1 minus 341. Then 2 to the 340 is kind of like 1 minus 341. So how can you use this to prove that 341 is composite, and how can you use it to actually factor the number 341? Any volunteers? Anyone did this problem?
I can tell you how we know it's composite.
So how do you know it's composite?
Well, there's a theorem that says that m is given m prime, x squared is congruent to 1.
X squared is congruent to 1.
Mod m if and only if x is congruent to plus minus 1. Mod m.
Yeah, so if m is a prime number, then 32 squared cannot be congruent to 1 mod m. And what was the proof of this? And this is one of the homework problems. Of course, you get that m divides x squared minus 1, which is x minus 1 times x plus 1. If m is prime, then m must divide either x minus 1 or x plus 1.
And to this, to the 170th is not congruent to 1 minus 341.
It is congruent to 1 plus 1. Yeah. But what's 2 to the 170? It's 2 to the 85 to the square.
Right.
Yeah. So here, what we got is that 32 squared is congruent to 1 minus 341. 32 is not congruent to 1 or negative 1 minus 341. 341 cannot be prime.
Okay, exactly. Oops. All right, could you use that same theorem since we were given that 2 to the 340 is congruent to 1 minus 341?
Since 2 to the 340 is congruent to 1 minus 341, that's not, that in itself doesn't show that 341 is composite.
I'm sorry. I used the same theorem that he used to disprove it. What I thought was to prove it that it was an SPSP.
It is not an SPSP because it fails the test. That's a method. That's exactly
right.
I used
the same method though, but a step up with 2 to the 340. I squared that and I got 1 to the 3. So I mean that's what.
I'm not sure if I understand what you say. So you're saying you went from 2 to the 172 to 2 to the 340? So then the test is undecided. But there's a decider pair, then you go from 2 to the 85 to 2 to the 170, and that's when the test is decisive. It comes up with something whose square is 1, but the thing itself is not coming to plus or minus 1. Now how can you use this to factor 341? Anyone got that? Joe?
You know that the theorem that the GCD between x minus 1 and m will be greater than 1 but less than m, and that would be a factor.
That was one of the homework problems. But you can just quote it. Or if you want to work it out here, this says that 341 divides 32 squared minus 1. This is easy to factor. What's the factorization of 32 squared minus 1? It's 32 plus 1 and 32 minus 1. So we get 33 times 31, and 341 divides that. So what are the possible factors of 341?
311.
What was it, Harry?
311 and 31.
Yeah. And what's the actual factorization?
11
is 31. It's not divisible by 3. 341 is 11 times 31. You can cancel out the 3 because 3 plus 4 plus 1 is 8. It's not the zero answer. Well, it does show
the factorization.
Yeah, what you get here is not so. You can put, you can conclude that the GCD of 31 and M is less than M and greater than 1, and the GCD of 33 and M is less than 1 and greater than M. If you want to use the Hunger problem, so if you don't actually want to make this computation, you can just code the Hunger problem. That's another way of getting the factors. First, you get the GCD of 31 and 341, and then you get the GCD of 33 and 341. Now, what we're gonna do today is what we started last time, and that's the multiplicative structure, the numbers modulo m. So, what we can do there is pick a number A, which is relatively prime to M, and we can ask the following question: what's the smallest positive number such that A raised to that power is going to be congruent to 1 modulo M? There are certain numbers with this property. For example, phi of m is one of them by Euler's theorem. So this A is called the order of A modulo m. So what we're going to start with is an example when the modulus is 11. And I'm going to give you tables of all the possible powers that you can have. I'd like you to fill out these tables. So let's do the first one together. Do you have the? Do you need one more?
Thanks.
So let's start with the first one. The powers of 2 mod 11. What's the first I such that 2 to the I is congruent to 1 modulo 11? Well, you have to go all the way up to 10. We know by Euler's theorem that 10 will work. Fermat's theorem. A to the 10 is going to be congruent to 1 modulo 11. For any number A, which is not divisible by 11. That's Fermat's theorem. So, that will always work, but sometimes the order is not 10, but something less. But for 2, the order is 10. Now, what's the order of 3?
5.
Okay. What's the order of 4? It's still 5. What's the order of 5? 5. What's the order of 6? 10. What's the order of 7? 10. The order of 8? It's 10. The order of 9? It's 5. And what's the order of 10? How can you tell that without ever looking at this table, that the order of 10 is 2? Mod 11. The idea is that times come with a negative 1. Of course, negative 1 to the square is 1. So the order of 10 must be 2. So what are the possible orders? I didn't list the number 1. What's the order of the number 1?
1.
That's the only thing, that's the only number whose order is 1. Because the only number raised to the first power that will give you 1 is the number 1. What are, if m is a prime number, what are the numbers of order 2? M minus 1 is always a number of order 2. Is there any other number of order 2 mod prime?
One
has order 1.
Also.
It has prime, right?
If M is prime, there isn't. Why?
Yeah.
Because of that. If the order of the number is 2, then that number satisfies the equation x squared is congruent to 1. If m is a prime, we have only two solutions, plus 1, which is order 1, and minus 1, which is order 2. Okay, so if we start to fill out this list, the possible orders are 1, and there is only 1 number of order 1. Then there's 2 is a possible order, and the multiplicity is still 1. What are the other possible orders that show up?
5
and 10. How many numbers are there with order 5?
4.
Okay. And how many numbers of order 10? So let's start to look for some patterns. So what are the possible orders? 1, 2, 5, and 10. What does this suggest?
All numbers relative to 9 to 1. All numbers relative
to 9 to 1.
Factors of
then?
M minus 1.
Factors of M minus 1. Factors of? Why 5m?
I'm just thinking more generally the factors of 5m.
Okay, so this data will not be enough to come up with the right answer for sure, but we just try to make some conjectures. And one conjecture was that the possible orders that appear all divide by minus 1. So it was 10 for us. Now, of course, 10 is special. If every number to the power 10 is congruent to 1, modulo 11. So let's assume m is prime. This conjecture makes some sense. So every number raised to the power m minus 1 is congruent to 1 modulo m. So we might think that the order will actually divide this number. But what if m is not prime? How do you think this should be modified, this conjecture? So m minus 1 was special, 10 was special, because 8 to the 10 is congruent to 1. For any number 8, that's relatively prime to 11. Yeah. If you don't start with a prime number, how should you, do you modify this theorem? Dion?
Well, M is a prime, then can't you have some numbers for which the order exists? Like 2 and 4, connected,
or? Oh, the order always exists because I'm making the assumption that A is relatively high to M. Other, of course, I'd be in trouble with that. Sam?
Could we just change it to minus 1 to 5?
Tell me?
Let N be the factor to that?
Oh,
and
so
N minus 1.
See, you, so M, you replace M minus 1 by the factors of M?
Like you'd be, you can divide the factors of M minus 1.
Okay, so the product of P minus 1 as P divides M. Yeah, these are all possible conjectures. Now let's just do some more some computations. So very trivial one. M is 2. What are the relatively prime numbers to 2?
1.
What's the order of 1?
Wow.
1, and it divides 2 minus 1.
So
it divides 5 to as well, which is 1. So actually, this is a more general conjecture. Because it includes the case when M is a prime. Phi of a prime number is just the prime number minus 1. Now, when M is 3, again, it's a trivial case. Because what are the relatively prime numbers to 3? 1 and 2, 1 has order 1, and 2 has order 2, because 2 is going right to negative 1. And when n is 4, the numbers relatively prime to 4 are 1 and 3. And they have orders
1 and 2.
So this will not work, this formula will not work, because the only prime that divides M is 2, and this product would be just 1. 2 minus 1 is 1. So this formula will not work. How about the phi of M formula? Phi of 4 is 2. So that still works. Actually, phi of M is very close to being this product. If you recall what the formula for phi of M is, so this is not that far from the truth, but you have to modify this product formula. Because the actual truth is that it always divides phi of M. And you can just check it with, let's say, M equals 8. The numbers that you have to check are 1, 3, 5, and 7. What are the orders? 1 has order 1. What's the order of 3? What's the order of 5? It's still 2. And what's the order of 7? Just 2, because it's negative 1. So here, all the orders 1, 2, 2, and 2 still divide phi of 8, which was 4. But now there's a change here, because 4 does not appear as an order. So even though the orders will divide 4, but the 4 itself is not an order. Now let me make a definition about this phenomenon. A will be called a primitive element if its order is phi of M. only make sense if you fix the modulus. A could be a primitive element with respect to one modulus and not a primitive element with respect to another one. So A is a primitive element mod M if the order of A is phi of M. So mod 11, we have plenty of primitive elements. We have 2 and 6, 7, 8. They are all primitive elements. Now, what I claim is that just from the first table, the powers of 2 mod 11, we can tell what numbers are primitive roots. What numbers other than 2? So 2 itself was a primitive element. What was the order of 4? So it's not a primitive element. What was the order of 8?
Yeah.
So it's a primitive element. What's the order of 5? It's not a primitive element. The order of 10?
It's not a primitive element. The order of 9?
5.
The order of 7?
10.
The order of 3?
5.
And the order of 6? So 2, 8, 7, and 6 are the primitive elements. My claim is that you could figure this one out from the indices. So 2 is 2 raised to the first power, 8 is 2 raised to the third power, 7 is 2 raised to the seventh power, and 6 is 2 raised to the ninth power. So from the indices, what are those indices that enter here?
The numbers that are relative.
Yes. So 1, 3, 7, and 9, these are the numbers that are relatively prime. And those are the only possible choices. Because if you pick an index which is not relatively prime to 10, like let's say 4, then it cannot be that its order is still 10. Why? Because 2 to the 4 to the 5th is the same as 2 to the 20th, and of course it's the same as 2 to the 10th to the square, so it's congruent to 1 mod 11. So this number raised order to the 5th power is congruent to 1 mod 11. Can you tell from this table what are those numbers that are congruent to a square modulo 11? Four, Pythagorean theorem square root of 11?
Yes.
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 Come on.
The square.
6.
5.
5. Why should 5 be congruent to a square?
Because 4 is even.
Yeah. So this is 2 to the 4th power, which is 2 squared to the square. So this is a square. The same goes for 6, 8. So what corresponds to them is 9 and 3. So 6 is an even power. 8 is an even power. 9 is a square, and 3 is a square. And of course, 1 is a square. Now, what about the odd exponents? Can 2 be a square? Why not? Why cannot 2 be a square much more than that?
Yeah, 2 would
be less than half.
If A was the square root of 2, then its order would be twice that of 2.
Yeah, what would be the order of let's say 2 is the square of something A. What would the order of A be? 20. Can the order be, can any number have an order which is 20 mod 11? No, the order must be less than or equal to 10 by Fermat's theorem. So 2 cannot be a square. Now how can you tell from 2 not being a square that you can cross out all the odd exponents? So how can you know that 8 cannot be a square then? Well, what is 8 is 2 cubed, which is 2 to the 2 times 2. This is a square. If 8 was a square mod 11, then 2 would turn out to be a square mod 11. And the same goes with 2 to the 5th. So if you start at 10, which is 2 to the 5th, which is 2 to the 4th times 2. If 10 was a square, then because 2 to the 4th is a square, 2 would turn out to be a square. We know that 2 is not a square. So what I'm using is that if I have an equation a squared is congruent to 2b squared modulo 11, then I can take the multiplicative inverse of this number b, and then I would end up with an equation which says that 2 is a square. It's impossible. So let me just tell you two more definitions.
I have a question about the primitive element definition.
Yes.
If we're saying if the order of A is 5 of M, so then on your example, mod 11,
yeah.
Why are we looking at 5 of 10 instead of 5, the number of elements? If the order of A, we're looking at 5 of 10 instead of 5 of 11. Does that make sense? You see what I'm saying?
Not quite. So the order, we're looking for numbers whose order is 10. So we can just go through this list and figure out.
I understand all that, but the definition doesn't make sense. I mean, I understand that 2 to the 4th in the order of 2 is 4, mod 11. Wait.
No, the order of 2.
Wait, now I'm getting confused.
Okay, the order of something is the smallest positive power that you need to show that you get 1.
Right.
And so the primitive elements mod 11 are, it goes through this list, and they turn out to be 2 and 8 and 7. Well, I didn't use the the tables, but you could use the tables. I mean, you listed all the orders, you can just check that these are the primitive elements. And what I claimed is that the indices, to get these numbers, when you look in the first table, are 1, 3, 7, and 9, and these are numbers that are relatively prime to 10.
Right.
But those are the indices. So the point is, it's kind of like a logarithm, and we're going to get back to this subject next time. It's called a discrete logarithm. So instead of working with the actual numbers, I can go and work with the indices. It's just like the indices tell me what number I have to use, what I have to raise 2 to the 3rd power to get 8. I have to raise 2 to the 9th power to get 6. It's kind of like a logarithm. And well, I'm going to explain it next time. But when you work with the indices, you have to... What's important is how they relate to the number 10, which was 5, 11.
Right.
When you work with the actual numbers, what's important is what they are modulo 11. When you work with the indices, what's important is what they are modulo 10. And we will get back to this next time. And the two definitions I promised I will tell you next time, because I ran out of time.
The only person I can hear. Oh.
Hello, sexy. How's it going? You're looking quite.
Take care,
Beth.
Alright, man.
Bye.
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 I get to skip one more set anyway.
You know what? Why did you give it
up? I've had to do one later.
And you said you only had 5, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because I wasn't expecting people to be talking.
Yeah,
I like also I was like, wait a minute, it's
It's been like 15 minutes and like people's been talking all this time and like I have no idea what we're talking
about. I do have a basic general idea that DJ was talking about.
Why don't you take a look at it, decide if it's good, and maybe I don't know.
You
want to
see?
Yeah, maybe.